This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message from our campus pastor, Peter Moore, will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
It's hard to believe this is our last Sunday for Heart for the House, but I hope that our heart for God's house does not end today. I hope that we have a continued heart for Him and a passion to see Him use this house for His glory. And today is such a special day. We're really looking forward to everything that's going on. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and just pass out any worship guides or programs. If you guys haven't grabbed one, make sure you get the outline that's in the very back. There are a lot of handouts today, and that's on purpose because we're doing a lot today. This is a big day today, but I want to make sure you guys have the handout, and I want to make sure that you're ready to go to 2 Corinthians 9. We were in 2 Corinthians 8 last week, and we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 9 right now, and we'll just read a few verses, and then we'll study the rest of the verses as we go through this passage. But if you need a pen or if you need something to drink or whatever, just go ahead and take care of it right now, because over the next few minutes, we're going to study this passage just as we do each week, verse by verse. And we're going to go through what is going on in the church at Corinth and what's going on in this passage. Now, if this is your first time here, and we have a couple guests here today, we're so thankful that you're here. And we are in a season of generosity, and we are looking forward to expressing our generosity today. And I'm always so thankful when guests come on days like this, because we have a couple days a year where we just pour out to God, and we want you to know that this is the way God designed it to work. In fact, He loved us so much, He gave His own Son. And so giving is just a part of our relationship with God. And you'll see that in the passage today, but it's so much more than money. And I want you to know that you being here today is a gift. You being here today is a gift of your time to the Lord, and I just thank you for that. So some of you could have let the weather, the wind, the cold keep you away, and you didn't, and I'm thankful and I'm proud of you. And last night I was sitting there and I was praying for each one of you, and I was thinking, man, Lord, I don't know. I'm looking at the weather, and I think we have I took a screenshot on my phone. I thought, man, look at the weather for tomorrow, man. It's gonna be raining and soon and just, don't we see this? We see the blustery. That does not describe it, okay? It should be another word up there, not blustery. That sounds like, just a fun walk in the park. No, these are gale force winds out here. But then I thought to myself, it's 53 degrees. I wonder what it was like or what the temperature is where I grew up. And in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where I grew up, about three hours outside of Chicago, okay? I want you to notice that right now it's 1 degree, okay? It is 1 degree, and it is also windy. So the wind around the Windy City is no joke, and it's very cold as well. The low, by the way, tonight is -6, if you're wondering. I feel like a weatherman up here, partly cloudy skies, and toss it over to traffic. I just wanted to encourage you with that it could be worse, okay? So take your Bibles and turn to the second book of Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians obviously was the first letter. We said at the very beginning of this series, we're not sure if this is the second letter. It is the only second letter that we have. We know He wrote other letters. We also know that He came and he visited them. But I just want to read the first 7 or 8 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And then we'll have a quick word of prayer and we'll dive right into the message today. Verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians 9 says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you." It's almost unnecessary, he's saying. Verse number 2. "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, and in this behalf that I said, ye be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, that we, not ye, okay, so he's saying we would be ashamed of in the same confident boasting. So he's trying to walk carefully here in verse number 4. Verse number 5, though, he says why. Why is he trying to be careful? Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they should go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready, the bounty, a matter of bounty, and not of covetousness. But I say unto you, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to that he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able, everyone say that together, God is able, what a great statement, to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let's pray and then we'll dive in. God, we come before you and we're so thankful for your word, because Lord, it tells us not how we, how culture says we should live, not how we most would naturally want to live. God, you share with us in your word how you designed us to live. And God, I pray that all of us in here would understand that you have wired us for generosity. And God, I pray that you'll help us to be generous with our time, Lord, to be generous with our compassion, to be generous with our resources as you've been generous to us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would retune our heart through this. And Holy Spirit, we've got to have you. I pray that you'll work and move through this passage, and we'll thank you for all that you're going to do and give you the glory for it. And all of God's people said, amen. That was a little weak. All of God's people said, amen. Okay, that just means agree. Okay, so if you're new to church, that word means agree. Now, Corinth is this Greek city that still exists today, and I think we have a map, okay? Paul was talking about the Macedonian church all the way at the top, and he was obviously writing a letter, okay, from Macedonia from Ephesus about the Macedonians and to Corinth, where the red dot is, okay? But Paul had been back and forth between Thessalonica and Philippi, back and forth constantly between these two cities. In fact, he would most likely have walked from Corinth all the way to Philippi, okay? If you're wondering, it's a 123-hour walk. Okay, that's a very long walk. Okay, that's about a week and a half worth of walking. And of course, Macedonia is kind of sandwiched in between Kosovo, Albania, Bulgaria, all of that. This is obviously where modern day Turkey is. Ephesus over here. So you kind of get an idea. Greece, Italy over here. So this is the type of area of the world and where this was all happening. And Corinth was taking a current offering, okay, Corinth and Macedonia, for some believers far away that they didn't even know, but it was God's house in Jerusalem that was literally falling apart. And they were falling apart because they believed the word of God. You say, well, why would that be the case? Well, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And so when you had thousands of people being converted to Christ and following Christ, now they believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And now you have the Sadducees who are literally taking thousands of people and punishing them for believing in who Jesus is and making them unemployed. Not to mention Nero coming in and destroying Jerusalem and all of the things that were happening at that time. I mean, Jerusalem was just in a total upheaval. And so these people said, listen, We believe the common bond that we have is we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And we believe that you believe that, and we want to help you. And so it wasn't just an offering for God's house there in Corinth or God's house there in Philippi or Thessalonica or Macedonia. No, it was a offering for the house of God that they had never been to. It was an offering for some people they had never met. But their common bond was their belief. Did you know our common bond is our belief? There are some people in this room that I have very little in common with, okay? You would have a totally different background. Maybe you'd have totally different likes. Maybe some of you in here would maybe have different likes for sports teams or food or lots of different things. But there's one thing that I believe is binding this church together, and it's around the belief of who Jesus is and what he can do in our lives. And so when we say we have a heart for the house, we're saying that we want God's heart for this house. And if we're going to end this series right, we've been talking about his heart for his house and his heart for my house and his heart for my heart and all of that. But today I want to talk about my heart for his house. See, the last 3 weeks we've understood God's heart for this house. But I want to just carve out some time and say, okay, what should my choice be? What should my heart be? You know, your heart is always seen through your choices. You say, no, my heart is, I'll tell you what my heart is. No, you'll show. The heart is always expressed through action, not just through words. And so we understand that this is what Paul was saying. He was saying, you're going to make a choice, and based on that choice, you're going to express your love. You're going to, through grace, express what God can do. And so in verse number one, we'll just kind of walk through verse by verse. Verse number one, he says, as touching the ministering to the saints, okay? Now, this isn't literal touching, okay? Some of you are very touchy-feely, okay? How many huggers do we have in the room, okay? Huggers, okay? You're not shy about it, okay? How many of you, absolutely not, I have a personal bubble, thank you, okay? That's okay, okay? So see how there's two different types of people? And so this isn't touchy-feely, okay? This is actually a word that describes what we talked about last week, our empathy, okay? Touching them, not with, just a hand, but touching a heart. And today we're hoping that God will touch a heart. We're hoping that we can touch a heart with what we do. And so the ministering to the saints, now a lot of people have asked me this, what's a saint? You know, is this the sainthood? You know, they have a little halo, a little frisbee over their head, and you know they're glowing, effervescent. You know, no. The word saint actually just comes from the word sanctified. Okay, and it just means one that is set apart. Okay, one that is set apart for a purpose. Now, what a saint is set apart for, and this is why I love this verse, and this is why I love the Bible, is because saints are set apart for ministering. So when it says ministering to the saints, it would say, listen, we are ministering to the ministers. We are ministering to those who are ministering to others. And that's the body of Christ, is ministering one to another. And so we understand that God is asking them to be a part of this and asking them to choose this. And by the way, this is always an individual choice, but we always have to ask ourselves, can I prove to God my heart for his work? Can I prove to God that I want to make a choice? Can I, through my choices, demonstrate my love to God? And God tells us that we can. In fact, even in the Old Testament, And this is the verse that we get heart for the house from. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in verse number 16, it says, "For I have chosen," everyone say chosen, okay? For now have I chosen and sanctified, oh, there's the word there, okay? Sanctified, set apart this house. This house, and I believe this is applicable for this house too, this church. That my name might be there. And let me tell you, the most incredible thing about this place is not us. It's the fact that the name above all names is lifted up here. That's what makes this place special. My name, it may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And so we have a heart for the house of God because his name means something to us. His name is forgiveness. His name is mercy. His name is power. His name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we worship him, and that's what he's given us in this house. But there's, if we're going to have a heart for his house, we need to understand that there's three parts to every heart. Okay, that's your mind, will, and emotions. It's your feeler, your emotions, okay? Your thinker, your mind, okay? And your chooser, your will. And I want to start out by talking about our mind, okay? And I want to talk about how when we have a heart for God's house, our motive matters. Now, motive always happens in the mind. And number one, I want you to notice that motive always matters. It you know, you say, well, I did the right thing. Yeah, but if you do the right thing with the wrong motive, is it right? If you do the right thing with the wrong motive, it's actually short-circuiting the process, because the verse in verse number one, it says ministering to the saints. The word ministering there is preparing or being ready to support. It literally brings the essence of becoming a utensil. Now people say, well, I don't want to be used as a utensil. I don't want to minister as like a tool. I don't want to be a tool. And the point is, this is carrying with it the understanding that God is wanting to use you, but how? How has God designed you to be used in the local church and in everyday life as well? Well, in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45, I want you to see this. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, there's that word again, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't come just to be lifted up, although he was lifted up, but he came first to minister. He came first to be a tool in God the Father's hand for his work. You know, God has given us some tools for his work. God's given you some time that you can give to his work, or some resources that you can give. Maybe he's given you some talent that you can use and all of these things. But we have to constantly be asking, well, why would I use that? What's the purpose for using it? Am I going to use it for me? Am I just here for me? Or am I truly here for others? And that's the question. Am I here for me, or am I here for others? And money has a way of really cutting to the heart of the matter and saying, here's how you can tell whether you're for yourself or if you're for others. Now, last week we said it's not about the money, it's about your heart. But the heart reflects, or your money reflects your heart, and your heart reflects your money. They're in the same place. And so this is why Jesus talked, every one out of every six verses, Jesus talked about money. And so I want you to see this in Luke chapter 16, in verse number 10. Because he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is just, or is unjust in the least, is unjust in much. So he's saying, if you can't be faithful, if you can't be a wise steward with the little, then you'll never be a wise steward with much. Well, yeah, but if God gave me $1 million, then I would be a wise steward. It starts little. And so he says in verse number 11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, the unrighteous money, who will commit to you trust for the true riches? I mean, who's going to give you true blessings, things that are even beyond money? He says, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Wait a second, what are the two masters? For he will hate the one and he will love the other, and he will hold to the one and he will despise the other. Oh, here's the two masters. No one can serve. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't be a servant to money and a servant to God. It's impossible. And so here's what I want to tell you today, is that when we talk about money, money is a great servant, but it is a terrible master. And if we will understand that, I believe that it will correct a lot of the faulty views that we have in our heart and in our lives. And so when we come to the area of giving and generosity, we need to understand that we were meant to be stewards, not storers. We were meant to be stewards, not owners. I remember a few weeks ago I was in Starbucks, as I am in Starbucks quite a bit, and have lots of appointments in Starbucks and things, and I was there and was finishing up an appointment, and a few of the guys who are here were there at the table, and I said, guys, we are back. I'm gonna go use the facilities, and so I slipped out and I walked into the restroom, and there was someone in there. Okay, and that's always awkward, right? And so I walked in. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And right as I was closing the door, okay, now it was unlocked, okay, please lock the restroom door, by the way, just side note. Lock the door, okay? So, but it was open, and I just opened it. I shut it really fast. And this, as I was shutting it, the voice on the inside said, oh, no, come on in. And then she said, I'm just the stalker. And I was like, and I kind of propped him, like, what kind of stalker? and she said, no, I'm just restocking the restroom. I said, well, okay, it kind of sounded weird. I mean, you're in there, you're saying come in, you're saying you're a stalker, and I was just teasing, of course. She probably should have said, like, I'm refreshing the restroom or something. But either way, it was awkward. It was awkward. But I didn't go get the manager. I wasn't upset. Why? Because I understood her motive. Her motive was not just to be there as, you know, kind of creepy. It wasn't. No, she was there as a steward. She was refreshing. She was repurposing, refreshing, and restocking the restroom. She was a steward of that restroom, and she was following her purpose. And let me tell you, all of us have been given something to steward. All of us have been given something not just to stash, but to invest. And when we understand we're stewards, we're not all about hoarding. We're all about giving. We're not all about just what can we do, what can we see. We're all about what can God do through us. And so we have to come back to this mindset that Jesus was telling us. Listen, it's not about what you can do. It's not about what you can give. It is about what I can do through you. And Paul even said to the church at Philippi, he said, look not every man to his own thing, but every man also to the things of others. And so I'm going to ask Jonathan to come right up here and help me with something, because we want to see the motive. Why do we give? Why do we give to the Lord through His church? Why is it so important to give of our time, to give of our resources, to give everything to the Lord? And when we ask that question, we have to say, okay, God, what do you want me to give? How can I be willing? I don't want to be forced. We don't give because I'm up here talking about giving. We don't give because it's like, okay, this is just once a year. Okay, come on, get through this. Get. No, we give because God has given us a clear motive through all of Scripture, and it is this. We give for others. The motive for giving is always others. You say, well, I thought the motive for giving was God. You're starting to get the point. We give to God by giving to others. That's the way the Bible has set it up. That's the whole point of the New Testament. And so, listen, you say, well, I give my stuff directly to people. That's great. But Christ died for the local church, and one of the things he said was, listen, the local church is not about these four walls. It's not about, it's not a country club. This is not a social club. This is a place dedicated to the needs of others. And as we pour out ourselves, we are doing it for others, but we are not just doing it for others. We are doing it for others as unto the Lord. And so we give to others through the local church, and we give to the Lord through the local church. And that's why I'm passionate about every single dollar going toward the needs of others and going toward the furtherance of the gospel and going toward people who have a legitimate need. And everything we do, and we gave food to homeless this week, and we gave help to families who are struggling, and we're doing everything we can to meet the needs of others. Why? God's called us here not for ourselves, but for others. And so we need to understand that's the focus. Parents, let me just help you. The fact that your kids are growing up in a society that is not others focused. It is self-focused. It's all about how can you meet my needs? It's all about me, mine, not others. And 90% of the problems that we're seeing with children that are just uncontrollable is the fact that they think the world centers around them. I'm talking about my kids. I'm not talking about like some weird cases. I'm talking about kids who naturally are going to have the bent toward self that need to be bent toward others. And so let me just remind you what 2 Kings 12, stay up here for one more second, 2 Kings 12, 4 says. It says that all the money for the temple, obviously, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord. By the way, folks, this is the house of the Lord. You say, no, it's not. It's a seventh grade cafeteria. Well, my Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst. So regardless of if we were in the locker rooms, heaven forbid, by the way, the locker rooms or in here, it doesn't matter where we're at. We're asking the Lord to be. We prayed yesterday. We prayed this morning. We prayed last night. We're praying that God would be in this place. And so even the money, everyone that passeth the account or the regular giving of the tithes, and the money that every man is set at, so something that's a little bit above the tithe, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart. So we have the house of the Lord is where we give, but the heart matters. The heart is what we're after here. We're not after money. And I said last week, listen, if you're like, you're not getting any money out of me, we don't want your money. If that's the attitude, because the point is, it's as it comes from a man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. It's the heart of the matter that brings the money into the house of the Lord. And so let me just give you a concise statement here from this point. The fact is that what we hold on to many times, specifically with money and our motive, is really holding on to us. We think, oh, I can't let go of this. By the way, that could be resentment. By the way, this doesn't have to deal with money. This could be something that's happened in your past. But by the way, this could apply to marriage. This could apply to children. Sometimes we hold on too tightly instead of allowing God to work, instead of surrendering. And so what we hold on to sometimes is really holding on to us. Thank you so much, Jonathan. And so let me just encourage you to open up your program there. And we're gonna get pretty practical because there's several things I want to walk through as we go through today. And I want to direct your attention to an envelope that says Heart for the House on it, because today we're doing this, and if you can't today and you want to do it next week or you want to do it online, we'll give you an option. But today I'm asking the church to consider bringing a cash offering to the house of the Lord. But I'm just asking you to pray about it. Listen, I don't want you just to throw your loose change in here or whatever. If it's an impulsive, just kind of a random thing, just wait. But I want you to pray over this. And tonight we're going to have a dinner and we're going to give an offering tonight. But if you can't come tonight, give it this morning and or bring it back next week. And this is a cash offering. This is exactly what was happening in 2 Kings 12. They were bringing a cash offering to the Lord. And they were doing it for his house. It was a heart that they were having for his house. But they were not doing it for themselves. They were doing it for others. And so you say, well, what if I have a specific thing that I want God to do? I'm asking God, and yeah, you can go meet that need. Or you can write it on the dream wall that we have in the back and start praying and asking some believers around you to start praying with you and believing that the gift that you give. Listen, there may be someone in here where it's a sacrifice for you to give $20. And those $20 could be used in such a miraculous way. But my point is, if we're not going to have faith and we're not going to have a heart for God to use it, regardless of the amount of our giving, we have to say, God, listen, I am placing this in your hands because I want you to do something great with it. And so first is the motive. That's all about the mind. And the motive is giving to others. Number two, I want you to see that our spirit matters. Our spirit matters. These are our emotions. And I want you to see how Paul really starts to dig into the emotions of the thing in verse number 6. He's breaking down how we give and the spirit with which we give. And he says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And so the word bountifully there is the word eulogia. We've heard of a eulogy. Okay, it just means blessing. A good flattering speech. Okay, but it also means to be ready to impart, to be generous, and to have an abundant gift. And so he's like, if you give bountifully, God will multiply it. And if you refuse to give, God's not going to pry the money out of your hands. God's not going to, say, oh, you didn't give to me. I'm coming after you. That's not the spirit here. And I know some people have taught that. But listen, giving is an individual decision based on a spirit-filled inclination. And so God wants you to have a heart that is bountifully sowing to the Lord, okay? Now, as you know, as is my custom, I have to explain these things in life-size ways, okay? And so I'm going to take off my tie and suit coat for this. And guys, we're getting real, okay? So I'm going to need some help. I'm going to actually ask Ricardo and Jonathan to come on up here. And here's my one illustration on giving today, okay? If I have, and you're going to need to stand down there, just protect the crowd there, okay? are you nervous yet? All right. I would probably stand right here, okay? So if I'm going to say I'm going to give bountifully to the Lord, and I want to know how he's going to give to me. Because some of you, listen, you're brand new at giving. And you're saying, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with what I'm going to give, but I'm just going to give and I'm going to wait. And some of you are literally going to wait the next 7 days. My boys are expecting God to do something with the money they're giving. Okay? Now, he may need to do that through me. I don't know. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, so it's not bad to anticipate what God would do, but some of you say, you know, I only have so many resources, I only have so many things, and you might say, you know, I can't really give a lot, but God, I'll give something, okay? And you say, I only have a little bit, but maybe I'll just start with 10%. Say, okay, God, I'm going to give that to you. Okay? Whoa. Whoa. Holy. And God will multiply it. I don't know who's playing God back there. They're doing a good job. Okay? So God will multiply it. And you're saying, wow, man, now I have more than I had when I started. By the way, some of you, you know where I'm going with this. You understand that when you give, somehow you always have more than you started with. How is that even possible? I gave. I'm supposed to have less. How do I have more? A week, a month later. How in the world? And you look and you're like, oh man, that's just, I just don't get it. I mean, well, that didn't break down. And oh wow, that came in. And that was, I normally have to pay for that and I didn't. And no cavities? Are you kidding me? What planet is this on? They eat chocolate all the time, you know? So the point is, God can do things when you give to him. But listen, when you don't give to him, he can't do anything with it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And so we set the stage to tell you, listen, when you give to the Lord, he's going to give to you. Okay? Now, some of you in here, okay, you say, wow, that's great. God's multiplying. And man, I'll just, okay, if that's the case, I'll just give to get. And this will be like my investment plan. Right? And so you're like, oh, I can't wait to see what God does. I'm just gonna give a lot. I'm gonna give a lot. Okay, all right. Man, wow, God gave me so much. Okay, God. Okay. Hello? I gave a lot. Come on. And you're like, I gave on Sunday. It's Thursday and the big check's not here. I am seriously false advertising. Finally you say, well, maybe I wasn't giving with the right motive. Maybe I didn't have the best spirit. So you say, you know what, God, I gave you a lot, but I'll give you a little more, just not because I want to get, but because I get to give. And you just say, God, I'll just continue to give to you, regardless of your timing. Whoa! Man, things are changing. Things are looking up, and you say, whoa, well, if that's the case, man, if this is how God's gonna roll, and with no expectation, just say, man, I'll just, now I can really meet the needs of others. Now you just start giving, and it's just back and forth, and you're giving, and God's giving, and you're saying, okay, God, well, if you're giving me big, then I'll give big. And, whoa, hello. You give big and God gives big. And you say, man, there's no way. Like, there's no way. God can't do anymore. And some of us in this room are sitting here with, God, can you give me one of those little ones, please? Okay, thank you. Man, he answers prayer. And some of us are remember these days. And we would listen. The Bible says, despise not the day of small things. Listen, if you're in here and you say, man, I do not know what would happen to my budget if I gave $100. You say, I have no idea what would happen. And some of us who've been doing this thing of generosity, we're looking at this saying, why not? And I know it's scary at first. This is scary. But my point is, giving this is no less scary than giving this. Do you guys get what I'm saying? And so some of us who've said, wow, oh man, woo, God's really blessed me. But here it goes. And you say, okay, God, here you go. Here you go. I'll give it to you. Oh my goodness. It's getting out of control. And this is the moment where you realize your motive matters and your spirit matters. Your motive matters. It matters why you give it, but the spirit with which you give it matters as well. And so God's looking at us saying, listen, I can multiply. I can give to you. But you have to give from a heart of wanting to have a relationship with me. I can't take greed and multiply it. I can't take greed and grow it. But I can take something that is so small, something that is so insignificant as a cheerful spirit, and I can multiply it. Ricardo, stay on up here if you would. Because a few weeks ago, Ricardo, I'm going to embarrass him, and I'm sorry. But I did ask his permission if I could embarrass him. He just doesn't know what. Sorry. Hitting him on the head, embarrassing him. What in the world? A few weeks ago, we had a singles seminar, a relationship seminar, and afterwards, you know, they were all just kind of fellowshipping, and the restaurant that we went to didn't provide dessert, and so Ricardo saw some cookies up there, and if you know Ricardo, Ricardo has just an incredible spirit to help others, and with his own money, he just went and provided cookies for everyone there. I think we have a picture of him. This is Ricardo with all of the restaurant's cookies. Isn't that a great picture of Ricardo? That's a wonderful picture. I think I'm gonna frame that one. So that's Ricardo. And again, I'm picking on him, and I know he doesn't like the limelight, but I just want to say that Ricardo isn't like this massive cookie fan. I mean, I know you like cookies, but I know this about Ricardo. It wasn't about the cookies. Guess who it was about? It was about these people right here. It was about the people who were eating the cookies. Now, to them, it was probably about the cookies. But to Ricardo, it wasn't about the cookies. And if you're sitting here saying, this church is all about cookies, no. This church is all about money. Listen, I haven't spoken on money in months. I'm saying that this is a theme of the Bible because it says that where your treasure is, your heart is there also. And so if your heart's not there, your treasure's not going to be there. But if your treasure's not there, then your heart's not going to be there, and it's going to be a problem. And so people are sitting there counting the crumbs of cookies they have, saying, God, you can have these. Here are my crumbs. And God's saying, so I gave you all the cookies and I get the crumbs? We have to stop and ask ourselves, what's our heart? What's our heart behind it? Thank you so much. And so here's what the verse says in verse number 7. And this is what this is the heart, the spirit behind it. It says, every man, according as he purpose in his heart, we're to do this from the heart. But he says, as he purpose in his heart, let him so give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth, everyone say it together, a cheerful giver. It's the Greek word hilarious. Literally, we get our word hilarious from the Greek word that literally means laughing out loud, happy, delighted, very pleased. And I have to tell you something in here. There's so much joy. And we have a statement that I want you just to remember as a result of this. Because sometimes we get our mindset, and I want to flip the script really fast and just tell you that our giving and what we keep is all we have, but our giving and what we give is what God grows. And if you want to keep it, God will let you keep it. He loves you enough to just give you a choice. But whatever you keep, that's what you have. That's all you have. But if you'll just give some to the Lord, that's what God can grow. But we don't give it just so it'll grow. We give it so that we will grow. And you say, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I came here, I needed help with my, you know, anxiety. I needed help with, you know, this is the key. The heart is the key. Every issue of life, the Bible says in Proverbs 4, that every issue of life comes from the heart. Out of the heart are all the issues of life. And let me tell you, if you'll get money fixed in the heart, your priorities, everything will follow. And so we understand that our spirit matters, our motive matters. And then number three, my choice matters. My choice matters. So we say, why do we give? We give for others. And then we ask, Kwame, come on up here. We ask, how do we give? How should we choose to give? What should the choice be? We have a choice to give. How does God want us to give? And according to this, it says bountiful. And the word for bountiful, as we just studied, is flip it, generous. Generous. Generous is this word that literally is saying, I want to be so generous and I want to be so on fire for what God is doing that I'm willing to give a part of who I am. It's not just me. The Greeks would understand generosity as this outflow from the heart, not something you do, someone you are. And so it's a part of who you are. You can't separate it. And so we understand that in verse number 8 through verse number 15, it's talking about the choice that they have and how God is doing more with those who are giving more and those who are generous. God is more generous to them, and God's meeting more needs, and He's supplying the needs to those who are generous. And so people want God to be generous to them, but they don't want to be generous to God. And the point is, God isn't, it's not a carrot on a stick. He's just saying, listen, you have to stop and think through this and understand that I want to give to you and I want to bless you, but we can't hold on to the seed and not sow and invest and expect a harvest, because only those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. And so we understand that we have a choice. We have a choice to be greedy, or we have a choice to be generous. And let me encourage you. A generous church is a happy church. A generous mom, a generous dad, a generous husband, it brings this joy. You don't buy things for joy. God gives joy as the Holy Spirit flows through your generosity. Thank you so much. So why do we give? We give for others. How do we give? We give generously. And I want you to take out the kind of the second handout that's in your outline, because this is how we've structured generosity this year. We have allowed many families say, man, I can't do a cash offering right now, and I wish I could. But I'd love to do something little. I'd love to collect cans, as Lene said in her video last week, or I'd love to do whatever I can, or maybe later, maybe in the summer I can do more. And so there's a commitment card. And I believe that as we commit to the Lord, God will bring us to a point of our, where our spirit's going to flourish and our family's going to flourish, but first we need to make a commitment. And this morning and tonight, many of us will be filling out these commitment cards, and it's a 12-month commitment card. You can do a one-time gift, or you can do a regular gift to where you're going to commit, and this is all going to a future building, but which I'll talk about in a minute. But when we fill out this commitment, it's not just a commitment between us and the church. It's between us and the Lord. In our and where we find this is in verse number 11. I want you to see verse number 11, if you guys can put this up here. It says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So it's about thanksgiving. We'll get to that in a minute. For the ministration of this service, the same word as minister, by the way, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many, okay, thanksgiving unto God. Whiles, by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. What is a professed subjection? That literally is the word commitment. It's saying, I'm going to make a commitment to the gospel work that is happening here at Rancho Vista. And this is very practical. But if you'll make a commitment to the gospel work, I believe that you'll see gospel results. I believe that you'll see God do some things in your life that you wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. And maybe some of you are in here like, I could not make a 12-month commitment. And that's why you don't have to start big. Listen, start small. And I want to encourage lots of people in the church to start small and say, I will for the next 90 days prove God, as Malachi 3:10 says, I will prove God and go with me on a 90-day journey, 90 days of generosity. There's a card in here. You say, I can't do the 12 months, but I'll just do 90 days. I'll do $1 a day. I'll do $10 a week. I'll do whatever. But for the next 90 days, I am going to be generous. And in May, we're going to celebrate those who've gone on this 90-day journey. And we're going to watch what God has done. And we're going to share some stories of how God has blessed. Because regardless of where you start or how you do it, it's a choice that's furthering the gospel work. And it's a choice to say, God, I'm not just doing this to obey you. I'm doing this because I love you. I want to show my commitment and thanks to you. And so that brings us to kind of the final point, is what to give. What do we give? When you're giving, what do you give? And here's the reality. When you're giving gratitude. Say, no, I'm giving money. No, you're giving gratitude. You see, our culture, we say thanks. But in this culture, they showed thanks. And that's why all throughout the Bible it says, give thanks. We think it's enough just to say, okay, God, thank you. All right, I'm done. God says, yes, your words are wonderful and worship, but true worship is shown through our actions. And when we give, we're giving gratitude. And here's what Paul said in verse number 15. Guys, put it up there. Verse number 15 says, he talks about thanks all through this passage, but verse number 15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God gave an unspeakable gift to us, and now we get to give a generous gift back to him. And gratitude is the only adequate response to God's overwhelming grace. And so I want to leave you with two passages of Scripture. First is Timothy 6, 1 Timothy 6, and verse number 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world, by the way, we've said that's all of us, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. By the way, you may be incredibly wealthy right now, but that's not going to last. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to last. But in the living God, so we want to not trust in riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So listen, this is not a message that's against nice things or saying that, you know, a nice car, all of those things are from God. We just realize he's the owner, we're the steward. And so all things to enjoy, that's a wonderful thing. That they do good, that they be rich in good works. Oh, so he blesses us to be a blessing. Okay, I'm getting it. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store themselves a good foundation against the time to come. What time? That they may, let's say this together, lay hold on eternal life. Now you guys, that seems to be impossible. How can we lay hold on eternal life? There's no way. What could we possibly do to lay hold on eternal life? You know what I really believe this is telling us? I really believe this is telling us that we can't hold on to what is going to be gone. In fact, guys, put that quote up on the screen. What we spend is gone forever, but what we give lasts forever. That's really hard for us to understand forever, isn't it? But let me just give this a shot and then we're finished. The white is the first 10 years of your life. Innocence, just this is your first 10 years. Then green, you know, your 10 to 20s, that you're just kind of green. Okay, so this is, by the time you hit 30, this is your timeline of your life. And then you're in the red from 30 to 50. You're just always in the red. I get it. Okay? You're in the red. All right? And then this blue tape, that's when you're, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, and then 70, 80, 90, the gray tape. Okay? And then at some point, God calls you home. Most of us will live our lives and our resources and our time for this. Many of you have seen the illustration, this illustration, to understand that God is telling us all throughout the Scripture, he's literally, it's why he talks so much about money. It's not about the money. God can do his work without your money. Now he wants to use your money and he wants to bless you by being a blessing to you. But listen, if we live for this, everything is going to be regret, and it's all going to be, oh man, I really, really was able to do some awesome things in the blue. And most of America is living for this little blue piece of tape or the little yellow piece of tape. And if I really work hard, the first three, then the last two are going to be awesome. But let me ask you something. What's going to happen here? What's going to happen here? For 1,000 years, we rule and reign with Christ. And he says, what's given here will matter here. And after 1,000 years, there's going to be a new heaven and new earth, okay? But then after that, do you get the picture? And I want you to understand that Paul's saying, listen, lay hold on eternal life. Don't be so passionate about what the world's passionate where you're laying hold on uncertain riches. If you miss everything today, let me tell you. Lay hold on eternal life and say, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to lay hold. And every person in this room, this is going to look different for you. But every person, lay hold on eternal life. Grab onto it. Not this. Now, unfortunately, this rope does not go on forever. But I just did not want you to miss the fact that Jesus came so that you would choose him here so that he could bless you here. And it lasts forever. And so I get so short-sighted to say, well, maybe when I'm 70. It's not about the age, you guys. We're stuck with each other for a very long time. You say, well, but I mean, when we get to heaven, we're just going to be floating around on clouds and walking through each other. Are you serious? God made you in his image, and he made earth in the image of heaven. It's going to be very much like this, only it's going to be perfect. I've said that many, many times. And so let's start living for eternity. And here's the takeaway, and we're finished. Takeaway is this. To impact others for eternity through sacrificial generosity. And again, I've taken too much time, but I just want you to know that God has built you for others. And God wants to use a gift that you have that you give out of a willing heart. Not something that's pried out of you by a church. Something that's given as a willing heart. He wants to take that, and he wants to impact someone else's eternity. And I truly believe someone's going to walk up to someone who gave a dollar in this church and say, I was at the end of my rope, and you gave. And now I know that your gift impacted my eternity. Let's not get short-sighted. Let's look at the end of a matter and say, God, we're going to be generous because you've been generous to us and because there's something a lot larger going on than my short life, that there's an eternity waiting for that eternity will show the amount of blessings and the amount of good that's been done through one person who was willing to be generous.
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.